A podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
This episode contains mentions of self-harm.
Some listeners may prefer not to listen to this episode today or at all.
We totally understand that and support you.
Life is too short to listen to content that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Tune back next week for some different subject matter.
And take care of yourself. Love you, bestie.
I'm Christina Kahn.
And I'm Leela Hilton.
And this is Burn Before Reading,
the podcast about shitterature.
We're here to examine the terrible writing we did when we were younger.
And talk about other cringy literary topics.
As you may know, I eagerly started this podcast before it occurred to me to invite my beloved Leela into the fold.
Oh, I forgive you.
This episode was recorded long, long ago.
And because of that, it may be in a format you're not familiar with.
And it sadly does not even feature Leela, not even at all.
So thanks for giving us room to be flexible while we get this show on the road.
And you can look forward to things leveling out soon.
This episode is still excellent and really fun.
So enjoy the show.
Woo, thanks, guys.
We will start with a reading of the work. Dear Senor Admin, by Christina Kahn. Dear Senor Admin, I see you standing in the middle of a high school hallway, looking around at the teenagers. This is it. This is what we're all coming to. The freshmen, up by their lockers, the girls' skirts 6 inches wide, the guys cussing and hitting on girls, pretending they're so much older than they are. That's the most immature action of all. The stoners by the elevator, baggy pants, tight shirts, hanging off one another. More, baby, more. More sex, more weed, more everything. It'll never be enough. They'll never be enough. Wasting away their minds and their lives. So much they could be brilliant at. Down the drain and rolled up in a joint. In their respective departments, the band nerds, the artists, the computer geeks, classified. Made what they are by the judgments of others. What if they just want to be someone? Make something. Down the hall a bit are the other kids. Scene, emo, whatever they're called now. Victims to a ridiculous trend. A trend that started by making depression fashionable, then turned into a revolution. Oh, what a revolution. What a revolution where emotional is a fad that comes and goes, where cutting is a fashion statement, where you either are or you aren't. And if you're anywhere in the middle, there is no place for you. And the preps aren't girls from prep school anymore. Preps are girls with low self-esteem and guys who know it. Kids who don't have a definition but want one more than anything. They look for thrills, parties, and relationships, but it's all for nothing. Because it can't mean anything to you when you don't mean anything to yourself. And on the completely untouched end of the spectrum, are we kids by the wall? You call us your social outcasts. We're not good enough for a clique. We're not good enough for you. What with our nonconformist ways and our ridiculous obsession with individuality. We're so individual that we manage to think for ourselves. We do what we want because we want to. Not because it's cool or to fill our meaningless lives. Because we know our lives are the most precious things we have besides each other. We love each other. We make you nervous with our love. How dare we hug each other in your presence? How dare we act like we love one another half as much as we actually do? How dare we have fun? This is a school, not a dance floor, not a whorehouse, not a party, not a bedroom. When we're the ones with love minus sex.
Oh, Jesus.
They're the ones with sex minus love. Oh. But the truth is, we're just a bunch of kids wanting to know what this thing we call life is for. So, sorry, Senor Admin, when we don't follow your no love laws. Because you know what? Love is more important than anything we'll ever learn in school. It's what those fuck-ups you cherish as your future are lacking. It's what's going to save us. And yet, it's the one thing we'll never have enough of. So, senior admin, stop bitching at us for wanting to love and be loved and start bitching at them for not. Because we're the only kids who actually know what love is. So thank you for your attention, senior admin. Welcome, 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 and congratulations for making it. You have arrived at Burn Before Reading. I'm Christina Khan in real life and on socials, and I am here to ask you to please walk with me deep into the depths of my soul and look at the stuff that I wrote when I was really, really mad and 15 years old. I am very, very happy today, and I feel like I'm in good hands because my guest is my dear, dear friend, Andrew. Andrew, say hello to the listeners.
Hi, everyone.
Tell me a little bit about your history with poetry.
With poetry. Oh, okay. I was one of those cool kids who wanted to be into poetry, but just couldn't get into it.
Can't do it.
I couldn't do it. And I did the exact wrong thing if you're going to want to get into poetry, which is that I actually asked the librarian.
Oh my God, that's so cute. And
she was like really hype about it, but like I think she was afraid to like fuck up too much or something. So she sent me to, I don't even remember what it was, but it was literally the same shit we were reading in class. And I was like, well, I thought this would be different, but it's not. So it's one of those things that I like tried it once and it was like, surely this would never improve later on. So I never went back.
So I don't know if I want to be clear. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the show, but like, I don't like poetry. I don't like it at all. Doesn't make any sense to me. But here we are, and I wrote this, I guess. So
I do have one question. Is this the original import of your copy, or is this a transcription?
And that it's not a transcription. I typed everything up. It looked like this when I wrote it.
Okay.
It might have been in like courier font because I thought that was edgy. You know, ooh, the typewriter font.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's edgy. What do you want from me? All my Instagram stories are in the Instagram version of courier.
This is something else.
Yeah, okay. So that was your experience with poetry. What about like writing in general? Have you ever, Andrew, have you ever written anything?
I mean, I've written several school reports of note.
Oh, yeah? Were they really of note, though? Wink?
No.
Are they really that good?
Definitely not. No. Absolutely not. The most boring shit you'd ever read. I'm very fact-filled and to the point in my writing. Or see, I can. This is my problem with writing. I can do one of two things. I can either be like very meticulously, like no details and all like information being presented, or I turn into the most overly word user you've ever seen.
Verbose.
That's
loquacious.
Or as I would say, overly word user, because it sounds more words.
So maybe one of us does like a little more writing than the other one these days.
Yeah, definitely, definitely these days for sure. But I've always envied people who are good at writing, but I don't think I've ever written anything that I would call good.
I think you're the first person who's come on this show and I've said, what's your writing history? And they answered envy.
Yeah.
So have you ever written anything creatively?
As required.
That's quite all right.
I think a few times.
You mean like when I required you to write stuff for the restricted section from time to time?
No. I went to a decent high school. They made me write poetry. I don't think I ever kept anything that I don't think my parents ever kept anything that I ever wrote.
No, they shouldn't have.
No, and I'm thankful they didn't because it would be on here at some point. I did, and see, this is the one that I teased you with, but I can't find it anywhere. I wrote a poem in seventh grade, and one of the kids in my class had like a family band. And he was like, I really like your poem. And I was like, thanks, man. He was like, can I write a song about it? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, because I had like totally just tried to be like dark and moody like Edgar Allan Poe was. you know, because I thought that was like cool. And yes. I heard him perform the song a few years later, but I can't remember the song name or the poem name. And I can't find anything in my parents' storage unit that even relates to poetry. So
that's like such a cool story, bro.
Yeah. What can I say? A local band sang a song based on a poem that I wrote in the 7th or 8th grade. I think it's the 8th grade now that I think about it.
Allegedly. I guess we'll never know.
I'll know. And that's all that matters.
Despite your lack of experience, thank you for coming on to talk to me about something I wrote when I was a different person.
Yes. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, first of all.
What are your gut reactions to this piece, dear Senor Admin?
I want to give 15-year-old Tina a copy of Fight Club. I want to give her a copy of Fight Club and tell her, like, you need to watch this because in a few years you're going to realize how ridiculous you sound. And, like, I just, because, like, it's the lowest possible level of authority that you're rebelling against. Your high school administrators.
Well, I want to be really clear. Some context for this poem.
Oh, I'm willing to bet there are specific fucking people. I know just by chance that you had some sort of a 6-inch skirt rule. I know that you were mad at the stoners but you can already tell that you kind of want to be a stoner. You just don't know it yet because
I had no idea that was my destiny.
You envy stoners like I envy poets. So like, I there's a lot here and I want to take it bit by bit if that's possible. Okay.
Let me give you this context. Whew. Okay, so I didn't really read this before I sent it to you and read it live on the show. It's been, I didn't know what was coming. But I was like, Andrew will like the cheekiness toward my high school administration.
Oh, man.
Okay, so listen, I thought this was just going to be like a vague rebel post, but I realized as I was reading this that this was in direct retaliation to something that used to happen to me in high school. My friends and I would get in trouble all the time with our administrators for hugging each other too intimately. And they would, my one principal specifically, I don't remember her name, thank God. She was so meaningless to me, but I guess I did write this whole poem about her. I remember this bitch coming up to me when I was hugging somebody and being like, that's like the 5th boy I've seen you hug this week. As if, such a slut-shamey way. Yeah. And, like, as a 30-year-old, I'm like, yeah, because I have friends and some of them are dudes. And, like, I just hug them. But, like, they really enforce, like, the A hug, arms only.
Oh, my God.
So I think this was probably in direct retaliation to something that happened. Maybe that one day that the teacher was like, I see you hugging a different guy every day out here.
Oof. God, and you gotta love that, like, they're putting the perversion on a hug. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
They're the ones that are like, how dare you do this?
I was only fucking 1 to 2 of those guys. Like, it wasn't all of them.
At once. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so there's just a lot to break down here. First of all, yes. I really need to let the listeners know something that Andrew and I can see that you cannot, is that in no place did I type the word "and." I hit it with the double ampersand.
Okay. I saw that the first time and assumed typo. Then I saw it the second time and stylistic. I was like, okay, stylistic. This is stylistic. But by the end of it, I still couldn't figure out why you would go to the effort of hitting and.
Andrew, do you know like how people sometimes will like in their name over the letter I, instead of a dot, they do like a heart, you know? It's like the same kind of thing, and I was doing it at the same time in my life.
Oh, so it's like a signature almost.
Yeah, like all of the poetry I wrote for a year or two had the double ampersand, and notes. I did it in notes too, like fucking notes.
We're in the DA period, the double ampersand period.
I was like Dumbledore's army. Yeah, we're in the DA period. Well, okay, and so I, You can chart my life through punctuation because after the DA period where I was double ampersanding all my poetry and notes, I morphed into my question mark period, which was where me and my friends would graffiti question marks on everything. And by graffiti, I mean we had Sharpies. And we would, like, go around the school and the mall and put question marks on stuff. So it was, like, Hot Topic.
Hot Topic?
It was, like, language department. It's, like, nobody really knew what was real.
Oh, you man, know you were mean? Just sowing madness all over the place.
I used to be a lot more chaotic.
Nothing is known when Christina is around. Everything is a question.
So, as with much of my poetry from this era of my life, I stand by the emotion that led me to this.
Well, see, and that's the thing that's so beautiful about it is, no offense, but it is clearly a very sheltered, very good-natured child trying their hardest to be hard. And it just, like, because, for example, the stoners by the elevator, baggy pants, tight shirt, hanging off one another, more baby, more sex, more weed, more everything. And here's the thing. I sincerely think you said more everything because you couldn't think of anything harder than weed.
I don't know what comes after weed. Surely, I have no idea.
And surely they're not doing anything after weed. These are high schoolers. They don't do other drugs. Like, it's
they did so,
so
many drugs, I had no idea.
Oh, man. It is so beautiful. It's really a look into young Tina. And it's, like, a lot of things just kind of, like, meshing in place now. Things making sense, what the proto-Tina would have looked like.
I've come a long way. I've been so many people before the person I was today.
Come a very long way and rolled up a joint multiple times.
I want to talk about the title because I don't remember why I Spanishified this.
I have an idea, but I don't want to say it, and I hope it's not true.
My principal was not Hispanic. Okay, thank God. She was a white lady.
Oh,
she was a white
God.
Lady.
Okay, I was like, oh no, Tina made a hate crime and didn't realize.
My principal, the one who used to slut shame me for hugging my friends of various genders, was a white lady, for sure.
Okay.
I think that, like, my best guess is that I took Spanish all through high school and college. My best guess is that I was, like, it was, like, a thing we did at the time. When I was in early high school and middle school, it was, like, memes, but it was, like, in real life because none of us had parental controls to look at the internet.
Yep.
Like, we would just have these things that were funny forever. And you just kept doing them differently. And so the double ampersand thing is part of that. And I think the word señor might have been, like, part of a joke that we did.
Yeah, I've realized it's one of those weird things when you meet people outside of your, like, young friend group or even your high school friend group, and you start realizing, like, how much of your personal stories are things that really only make sense with, like, 15 years of backstory filling them in. Oh, that's just beautiful. Yeah. Dear Senor Admin.
I couldn't possibly tell you what I was thinking. So I'm trying to remember when I wrote this. I most of my writing that I'm going to read on this show was from, like, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. Like, I wrote a lot in, like, early high school when I was, like, first starting to have, like, real friendships, real relationships. And I started taking creative writing classes. Shout out to Mr. Harris. I remember your name because you were a fucking good teacher. And I took him like 4 years in a row. I kept like swerving. I was like, oh, and I'm not going to do IB English this year because Mr. Harris doesn't teach IB English. No, that really happened.
Well, I'm sure that's the reason that you're not leading a Fortune 500 company right now is because...
No, I'm a good person. That's why I'm not.
Well, yeah, you're a good person because you didn't take that IB English class. And end up going to Harvard because of it.
Oh my God. I could have been a total Elle Woods. You know what I mean? Corporate Tina sounds like it's all one word. Like I'm some kind of evil villain.
I thought it sounded like something that Hasbro would come out this year. This year for Christmas, get your daughter Corporate Tina. It's not sexist.
It's like a Barbie.
It's like a Barbie. It's
plus,
not a
it's
Barbie.
Plus size Barbie's plus size friend has Tina. It's like corporate Tina. Plus size girl power. Gym Tina. Beach Tina. So many outfits, all plus size. Okay, so we've talked about the stoners.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to scroll back up. The freshmen up by their lockers.
Which
the
means girls, you couldn't be a freshman because you would have talked
you're
about.
You're right.
So I you must have to be at least a sophomore.
It sounds like I probably was exactly a
I think
sophomore.
You are. If I had to guess, this is first semester sophomore year. This
so that would make this. That would make this 2006.
Okay. Yeah, I'm willing to bet this was first semester because the emo, whatever they're called now, and then going into the little rant about how it being emotional shouldn't be an identity, like mm-hmm. that sounds like emo had just started that school year, and you were like, how dare they?
Well,
leave the goths alone.
The emo part, okay, let's scroll down. Scene, emo, whatever they're called now, victims to a ridiculous trend, a trend that started by making depression fashionable. And then you scroll down where cutting is a fashion statement. Okay. So when I was in high school, all my friends fucking cut themselves, dude. And I'm looking back at my poetry, did people in your high school fucking like cut themselves as like almost like a fashion statement? Or was I just hanging out with super depressed people who were doing it very legitimately? Because it felt to me like it was like a fad.
I am going to have to show a lot of ass here and say, to be honest, I'm sure they were, but life was pretty good for most of the people I hung out with. So I don't think so. I think the idea of it was in the, like,
You were a prep. You were a prep.
Tina, I was a prep that played football and wrestling. Like, yeah. High school was fun for me. I'm sorry.
No, I had fun in high school, too. That's why I wrote this poem about how I was so confused that all my friends were cutting themselves. No, I have other poems that also mention this in the same way. But, like, super objectively, all of my friends in high school had like good lives. Like we were all like,
well, and yeah. And I should say, I'm not saying that I sound crass. Like I'm not trying to imply that just because you have a good life, you can't have issues and have like depression and things like that. I should specify.
It's just that Andrew was cool and I was hanging out with the art nerds.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, 32-year-old me. Do you think 15-year-old me would have ever noticed that?
That's a good question.
I'm very oblivious.
Okay, so I'll just continue to ask people what they think about this because I wrote about it more than once. I wrote about it at least like twice or thrice. So I think it was maybe it's just because I'm fucking very neurotypical that I was like, I don't understand what we're doing. It must be a fad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the way that you write about it, it sounds like someone who really wants to be thought of as deep, because then a trend that started by making depression fashionable then turned into a revolution. Oh, what a revolution. Like this, the sass, the, oh, is this what we're doing now? Okay. When emotional is a fad that comes and goes.
You mean and
goes. And goes. Is okay. A fashion statement. A fashion statement.
I feel like I need to talk to the right person about this. Maybe I need to get one of my friends in high school who used to come all the time onto the show. Get them onto the show and be like, tell me the truth. What was happening? Why were you doing this? Here's the thing. I don't know anything about mental health. I definitely don't know anything about self-mutilation, which I did put a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode. So it just was something that was such a part of my world at this time. So I'm trying to get to the bottom of that.
I know that there is definitely, and once again, not trying to minimize people that have self-harm issues, but I know that there is definitely research about trends in destructive behavior, and especially trends in neurodivergent behavior. Is a big one nowadays.
Was before, and all of us were adults and getting like diagnosed for stuff for sure. Like nobody got diagnosed back then because we were all like well off white people, and our parents didn't want their kids to have problems.
Yeah, I I know for a fact that I heard, like, it's not like you would have said something about cutting at the time, and I would have been like, Say what now?
You mean like a cake?
Like, yeah, like a cake? No. Well, why would they do that?
If you're not exactly like 30 to 33 years old, you probably like missed this wave. Like, these were the MySpace days.
Yeah.
We had top eights, my dude. We had brand new Fall Out Boy. I know that Fall Out Boy has released more stuff modernly, but the original, it was from under the cork tree.
People wrote love on their wrists and walked
They wrote
to school.
Love on their arms.
On their arms. Their arms?
Do you remember to write love on her arms was a thing?
It was like a band based on a story where like a girl, or like a campaign of some sort.
It was a campaign to get your girlfriend to stop cutting herself.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I had a shirt that said to write love on her arms, and I spent $20 on it, and it was the greatest the most expensive purchase I've made to date. Okay. In their respective departments, the band nerds, the artists, the computer geeks, classified.
Any idea what classified is there for?
Made what they are by the judgments of others. I think that I was really into, like, the Breakfast Club perspective of high school at this time, which mm-hmm. is like we are all so different, but if we just talk to each other, it would be we would be the same. You know what I mean?
Because there's always a way for two human beings to get along.
I stand by that, but this is an oversimplification. So I'm like band nerd, artist, computer geek, which I want to be really clear, technically I was all three of these things because I took a coding class. I was in band and I took art class. So like I was all three of the, I couldn't fathom an activity beyond my own interests. Okay. Who else do I slander? Oh, what a revolution.
Oh, what a revolution.
Oh yeah. Okay. So let me talk about me. And on the completely untouched end of the spectrum are the kids by the wall. You call us your social outcasts. We're not good enough for our clique, not good enough for you. What with our nonconformist ways and our ridiculous obsession with individuality. I said vag in the middle of my first take. 110% guarantee the coupling of the words ridiculous obsession is ripped directly from Moulin Rouge because they talk about a ridiculous obsession with
absolutely.
Love in that movie. And that was perhaps tied with Rent for my top movie in 2006.
Mm. 2006, were you still listening on a CD player or had you transferred over to an iPod?
I had MP3s on my computer.
Okay.
I had LimeWire. My parental controls did not affect my access to LimeWire because it was
so you had porn. You had everything.
But I really could only go on the American Girl Dolls website.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
I would break into my dad's office and go on my MySpace.
Oh,
and he
so
didn't
hardcore.
Notice. Yeah, I
that sounds like a rebel who would write a dashingly scathing a line about people cutting themselves. That's what that person is.
You know, like the parenthood tactic where you let your kids smoke a little bit of weed, drink a little bit of booze, make out a little bit on the couch, like in a safe space so that mm-hmm. they're not idiots when you throw them into the real world.
Yeah.
My parents didn't do that.
Mine
so
didn't either.
I was like such an idiot. Like I really did not, they were like, let's not let her have the internet. And then it was like, have fun at college. And it's like, that's the year that Two Girls, One Cup came out was the year I went to college. Like, and I just have the internet now. Are you joking me?
Welcome to the internet.
So like, obviously I thought a lot of myself, our nonconformist ways.
Yeah, how do you act like a nonconformist, Cartman? Oh, that's easy. You just do and say everything that we do. And dress just like us.
You can't be a nonconformist if you don't drink coffee.
I did feel really unique in high school because, like, me and just a couple of my friends were, like, the rainbow nerds. Like, we were mm-hmm. all queer and didn't know it. We, like, dressed. We weren't, like, punk or goth. Like, we weren't hard enough for that. We were like, what if everything was a fun joke? And, like, in that way, I have not changed. Like, what if everything was a fun joke? Because it is. That's the only way to have a happy life, if you ask me.
I mean, yeah.
But in high school, it felt really specific, you know, mm-hmm. like it felt like I was enlightened in some way. And I went to school in Fairfax County where they fucking just breed government employees. So I read this poetry. I'm like, it's bad. It's embarrassing. But I'm like, I stand by the original sentiment to this very day.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's the thing. It's like when they talk about a house and they say the bones are good. Like the reason you're writing it, the outrage, 100% I support valid. That.
Yeah.
Great, valid.
Execution not strong.
Well, it's the learning process, right? Like, this is probably, like, the way that I would write it right now at 32, because I've only ever written maybe 15 poems in my life. So, like, if I were to try and write it, it would probably seem like this now. You have to get through that step at some point, right? Like, it's not bad. No, it is bad, but, like...
It's bad.
But, no, it's bad, but confident, right?
Yeah. Hey... my whole life, I've been confident. Only recently have I gotten good and confident. I was bad and confident for like a lot of that.
Well, it seems like, and I don't know enough about poetry to like fill in these names, but I bet a more well-read person than I could tell you exactly which poets you are emulating at which points. Because it definitely reads as though you're using, like, I read a way to do that in a book. Because, like...
That's definitely likely.
We do what we do because we want to. Not because it's cool or because... Or to fill our meaningless lives. Like, that has, like, a certain, like, rhythm to it. I don't know.
Sometimes you're reading a book... I'll tell you because I've read a couple more books than you in my life. Sometimes you're reading a book and you're like, this author learned this word the day they started writing this. Honestly, if you try to read the Witcher series, the reason Sean and I could not endure the Witcher book series is because of the word caparison. It means like, it's like a horse that is... wearing clothing as of like a medieval horse is like wearing like the banner or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a caparisoned horse, my dude. In the first 10 pages of The Witcher, the first one, The Blood of Elves or whatever, the first one they recommend you read has the word caparison like 30 times. Like I'm not, maybe that's dramatic, but it was like 5 to 10 times in a word like caparison. You use that twice a book, absolutely maximum, more than 100 pages apart.
Yeah, I genuinely have never cared that much about whether or not a horse has, like, a flag on it or something.
Is it very close?
Yeah, not at all. Not a single bit.
All right, Andrew, are you ready for our wrap-up game? We have a wrap-up game.
There's a game?
I know, you're new to the show. The game is called Horny, Sad, or Just Plain Bad. The game is you have to tell me if the poem that I read was horny, sad, or just plain bad.
It's sad. It's sad. It's sad that wants to be angry and knows that it should be angry, but it's just sad because like, because when we're the ones with love minus sex, they're the ones with sex minus love. And you say that as if it's empowering, but you wanted the sex. Like you were 15.
I didn't want the sex. I wanted it so bad. All the guys I dated were gay. I did not get enough sex in high school because they're all gay.
And that's why this is sad.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for reading Dear Senior Admin with me. Do you have any final thoughts about the work?
I mean, I'm just waiting because at some point when you've got 300 episodes of this show, you're going to go ahead and make a book of all of the poetry that is or all of the writings that have been done on it, and then I will be able to own my own copy of Dear Senior Admin.
Wait, that's actually like not bad to publish a first season of the show book. Andrew, let me tell you something.
Yes.
The other day I asked our friend Haley, you know, Haley.
I've met her once or twice, yeah.
I said, Haley, what are you reading? She said, it's a mystery. I said, doesn't it say on the cover?
That's beautiful.
This podcast was created by me, Christina Kahn.
Hosted and produced by Christina Kahn and me, Leela Hilton.
Follow me online at Christina Kahn and buy my book, Indie Book Publishing from Start to Finish.
After you bought Tina's book, follow me online at Leels for Reels.
Our theme music was produced by Sakura Wishes.
And our logo was designed by Michael Hardison. Follow Michael on Instagram at RoyGBiv or check out his work at wildlingpress.com.
Thanks for listening, friends.
See you next time.
Media.